This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wednesday, Sharp Money, the VP of Operations at Circa, the D, Golden Gate Casinos, of course, the mayor, Mike Palm, globetrotting, making moves. Let's bring in Mike and just let him run with it. So tell us, Circa opening up there in Illinois, you're hanging out at Wrigley. Give us the update.
Oh, Wrigley was quite an experience. We did the media tour in Chicago yesterday. We were on 670 The Score, ESPN 1000, The Drive, which is a classic rock station, WGN Radio with John Williams and his business noon hour. Did several interviews. And then Mitch Rosen from 670 The Score, a good friend of Bill 80, supposed former newspaper man here in Chicago. Mitch got us a tour of Wrigley Field. I mean, it was absolutely awesome. My dad took us there every summer to watch the Cubs play. We were down in those million-dollar bunkers underneath. We were in the club's locker room, their training facility, their cryogenics. But I mean, it was pretty awesome. And then we got to go out on the field, out onto Wrigley, touch the ivy, walk around in the outfield. They cut the grass there every other day, Amal. Pretty awesome. But it was an experience, and it made us feel like VIPs, you know, to be on the grass at Wrigley Field in October when, you know, the Cubs aren't even allowed to be on the grass at Wrigley Field.
By the way, Patrick, you know, the one thing Mike brought up, a great point. What a fun treat that must have been, especially I know you got to go to a lot of Cubs games. But if you think about baseball stadiums, the old Yankee Stadium to me, Fenway and Wrigley are probably the three stadiums that people would love to be able to visit, and to be able to walk out on the field in the grass is probably second to none anywhere.
Yeah, those are the cathedrals. And, you know, they've rebuilt Wrigley in the last 5 years, really underneath. They cleared out all the ground they could and really made it like a modern stadium. I mean, the training facility is four times the size of what it used to be. The batting cages. They have a machine that, like, it simulates Kershaw's delivery and the angle he throws the ball if they're going to be playing Kershaw tomorrow. We actually got to throw out in the bullpen, you know, which is out behind the ivy in the outfield wall. That was pretty awesome as well.
Yeah, Patrick, once I stepped on the field at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum.
The legend. Hey, can we show the picture? That's a beautiful picture. Circa Sports there in Illinois. Can you give us the particulars of where you opened up for maybe some of the viewers there in the Midwest?
Yeah, we're in Waukegan, Patrick, which is actually like equidistant from Chicago and Milwaukee. So there's a heavy Wisconsin influence here as well. I'm interested to see if the Packers games or the Bears games actually are going to draw more fans. We are doing a Bears Commanders watch party tomorrow night. That should be riveting. Remember, these two teams played, I think, on a Thursday night in Chicago last year, a Monday night, maybe the worst game of the NFL season. So we'll get to see that tomorrow night. We did our grand opening today. We actually went live Friday morning, but did the grand opening events today. Brian Urlacher is one of our spokespersons here in Chicago. He was here. The mayor of Waukegan sent her regrets. She's actually from Liverpool. She was on a phone conference with the Premier League demanding a replay the match with Tottenham due to the VAR fiasco. So she unfortunately could not be here, but we were looking forward to seeing Mayor Taylor.
Mike, let's get into a little bit of college football. I know you guys have the contest you're involved with here at Circa on the Matt Eumanns program, doing very, very well in it. Any particular plays that stand out to you this weekend that you're looking at taking a stab at?
Well, maybe you can guide me here. And I don't always like to pick the marquee games, but I don't think that OU has really played an offense yet. I think that the defense, although it looks better than it has in other years, I'm not sure that it's been tested by the likes of a Texas. I mean, it's deceiving how much Texas dominated that game against Kansas from yards from scrimmage. I mean, it was a no contest. So I'm looking maybe to lay the number with Texas. And then I like Purdue a lot at Iowa. I know I lost this bet last year. I laid the points with Purdue at home. Iowa played a good game. Purdue turned the ball over. I had Illinois in the contest last week as a pick in West Lafayette. I quickly got off that at halftime. I bet Purdue pick them in the second half. It was a no contest. They were dominating Illinois. I think Purdue wins handily in Iowa City. Those are the two games I've sort of focused on right now.
You mentioned Thursday night, Chicago, Washington. You're there right in the center of it. What's the take on Eberflus? What's the take on Fields? You've got six with the number tomorrow at Washington. Have you gotten a vibe as far as the Bears fans there in the Midwest?
They think Eberflus is going to get fired. They want Eberflus fired. Who are you going to replace him with? I mean, that's the question. Take your time, get the right guy. You might have the number one and two picks here. I mean, that game when they play Carolina, they both might be winless when they play Carolina down the road. So it's interesting. Obviously, people are disappointed. They're back being delusional about Fields because he had a perfect three quarters in that game. If they still ended up losing it, they didn't take the points in the fourth quarter. You know, they're down on the Bears. They're disappointed in the Cubs. The White Sox are a train wreck. I mean, the highlight right now in Chicago is preseason hockey.
I was getting ready to say the Blackhawks haven't gone into the tank just yet. When you look around at the NFL, obviously this fan base is irritated with what the Bears have been unable to do, which is develop a quarterback. Let's go to another team in this division, the Detroit Lions. This is a team that continues to play good football, Mike. When you're looking at the Circus Survivor, we were talking about yesterday with Adam Burke. What's the big play here for you from your perspective on Survivor? We were thinking it's going to be the Miami Dolphins and the Detroit Lions this weekend.
Yeah, it's got to be Miami. I mean, I don't know if the Giants could have looked any worse on Monday night. And that was the end of just a really bloody weekend for us from the book. We got murdered on Sunday and got hammered on Monday. But, you know, we need, as much as we say the point spread in one game's lopsided and it's a $250,000 swing, when all the favorites win, or when the favorites cover the teasers, we got no shot. I mean, we needed that. It didn't matter if Kansas City won the game by one or by six or by, you know, any of those numbers they laid, 7, 8, 9. We had to have the Jets win the game to kill all those parlays and teasers. It didn't happen. They were tied to Seattle, even though Seattle was, you know, ended up going off a 2-point favorite. They're even more tied to Seattle on Monday night. The Giants were awful. I mean, you paid all this money to Daniel Jones. You've talked about it for years. I mean, Amal, you've been ahead of the curve on this one about Daniel Jones. So I think Miami's the play. Interesting you brought up the Lions, though. Amal, if you were still in Survivor, who would you be keen on Thanksgiving? I think the consensus probably has moved from Cowboys over Commanders to Lions over Packers on Thanksgiving.
Well, that's why I said I don't think you can play Detroit this weekend, Patrick, because I think you got to save them. If you have an injury at quarterback for Dallas, I'd be a lot more confident in taking Detroit even without Jared Goff than I would the Dallas Cowboys without Dak Prescott.
If not now, when, Mike Palm? I mean, it's a mid-league right now. The Lions, you know, one playoff win since 57. This is an opportunity to win a championship. Forget about making the postseason. I mean, can you point to a team that's great right now? No.
I think the 49ers are solid.
Good one.
I think, you know, when you talk about the Lions, and I'm found myself drawn to them because I think they've done everything the right way. They built the team from the offensive line. They're likable characters, right? How about Green Bay? Green Bay should be embarrassed with all that Honolulu blue. I couldn't believe it.
Yes.
In Lambeau Field. My God. But I find myself rooting for this team. But here's the thing. Whether it's Dallas, it's Seattle, it's Green Bay, to go to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to go to Philadelphia and go to San Francisco and win games on the road in the playoffs. I think it's still a tall task.
Are the Miami Dolphins going to be a team that hang around all year?
Well, they're going to be a playoff team. Maybe they win the East. I don't know. We'll see. Buffalo looked pretty good in that game. You know, Buffalo stubbed their toe on that Monday night without Rodgers. They might end up regretting that. I still think that's Buffalo's division. They sort of made a statement against the Dolphins on Sunday. But I think the AFC is more wide open than we might have even thought. Burrow's injury obviously makes the North wide open. The poor Steelers, they can't move the ball in offense. The defense is great. If Deshaun's going to be out for any amount of time, we saw DTR. These guys that were great in the preseason, Amal, that ain't Sunday football, okay? DTR wasn't ready. The kid for the Raiders, O'Connell. I mean, it's a whole different animal. So the North's interesting. Kansas City has not been great. I'm not sure that Mahomes is dating this girl, Taylor Swift. I'm really not sure. It's a great marketing ploy. If this is the NFL doing this to introduce the brand. But I don't like Mahomes forcing the ball to him because, oh my, she's in the audience. And now we got to get Kelsey a touchdown. Mahomes did not play well on Monday night at all. He almost let the kid from BYU outplay him and win that game. Of course, when it got 20-20, then Zach couldn't get any more first downs. But they flirted with losing that game.
More importantly, Mike Palm, Champions League. Leipzig just tied it up at ones against Man City in Germany. How about that? 1-1. Look, Newcastle's up 2-0 on PSG. I'm not sure. Are you lighting up your William Hill account there in Illinois? What's going on with you?
PSG, I had a deposit in Illinois, obviously, because I got Champions League while I'm here. PSG, Leipzig's no joke. Man City's got to be a little bit concerned here. Yeah, Man City's got to be a little bit concerned here now. It's wide. It seems to be more wide open. Can Tottenham continue this miracle run in the EPL? I mean, they're down two men. They defended sternly, and then they get the own goal. I mean, Tottenham just seems to have all the magic right now. Meanwhile, the special one, Mourinho, is giving up 4 goals a game. My, how the tables have turned.
Man City losing to Wolves this past weekend, and now RB Leipzig taking it to them.
I like Leipzig. I like that. I like that. That Leipzig team's been on the come up for a couple of years.
They really have. Well, listen, enjoy it. Congratulations to Circa and the family there in Illinois. Awesome stuff over on social. And travel back safely, Mike Palm. Get back home safely, okay?
I'll be back. I'm flying home, rushing to Circa to do the 3-man weave on the Lombardi line on Friday. So I'll be back.
Mike Palm, the mayor. You got to check him out Fridays on the Lombardi line. He does a great job. I love it when he comes prepared, and he always does. He, of course, the VP of operations, the Circa, the D Golden Gate Casinos, and congratulations to everybody at Circa opening up there in the Midwest. And when we come back, we're going to jog, not run, the NFL board.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Are you looking to become a better bettor? Of course you are, and tens of thousands of people have already tuned into Juice Reel. Now, Juice Reel, again, R-E-E-L, is an app in the App Store. It's not a sports book. It's a tool to help you beat the books. Juice Reel connects all of your sports betting accounts into one app, loads all of your betting history, and gives you an analytical edge backed by nearly $1 billion in bets from sports bettors in all 50 states. You can use that data to follow the winners and fade the losers. Don't place another sports bet until you've downloaded this revolutionary sports betting tool. It's called Juice Reel. That's juice like orange juice, Reel, R-E-E-L. It's absolutely free to download your iPhone, your Android device today. Juice Reel. Become a better sports bettor. Catch you back here. Of course, Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, midweek. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, live from the D, Fremont Street, downtown Las Vegas. Our read, big guy, on Zach Eflin was wrong. He's been under constant duress with the Rangers, and it looks like the Rangers just went up 4-0 here down at the Trop, potentially moving on in the postseason.
Yeah, thanks to a two-run shot from Evan Carter. Who is Evan Carter? Well, he's a guy who they called up Texas on September 8th. He hasn't even been in the bigs a month. And this is kind of one of those fun things you like to see in the postseason where a young kid gets hot. Reminds me of a young Miggy Cabrera for the Marlins in 03, like 19, 20 years old. Didn't even have a position yet. They're using him in right field, at third base, first base, wherever they can get his bat on the field, they did. Evan Carter, since he was called up on 9-8, hit 306 in the regular season, 5 homers, 12 ribbies, a great OPS, 15 runs scored, and a .413 on-base percentage. So far, in 1.5 playoff games, he's 3-for-3 with 2 doubles, a homer, and 2 ribbies.
By the way, you mentioned, and we can get to it, it's getting steamed down a little bit. I see $1.39, $1.40 in the market for Sonny Gray in Minnesota. You mentioned Miguel Cabrera. Of course, this was his swan song, Amal Shaw. He's by far my favorite baseball player, and I grew up with Alan Trammell, Lou Whitaker, Chet Lemon. Like, you can go on and on. I love the Lions. I love the Tigers growing up. But Miguel Cabrera, just an absolute superstar, one of the greats to ever do it, one of the great right-handed hitters to ever play the game. But what's wild is you always thought of Miguel Cabrera because, remember his time with Trader Jack and the Marlins winning a World Series. You think of Miguel Cabrera because of his youthfulness, right? You think of him so young. He was 19 years old, 18, 19 years old. When they were saying goodbye to him at Comerica in Detroit over this past week, he has children in their 20s. now. So, like, it's wild to see as a couple of daughters, it appeared to me, late teens, early 20s, and a son as well in his teens. Like, when Miguel Cabrera, who you just think of for his youthful exuberance, now has children in their 20s, that blew my mind.
It's absolutely crazy when you think about it. This is a guy who's only, what, 40 years old. So, obviously, what a prolific career. You know, Patrick, when I think of great hitters for my lifetime, I go back to about the early 80s for greatest hitters I've ever seen. Six people pop into my head. I give you the 80s guys, Mattingly, Boggs, and Tony Gwynn. And then in the last three decades, the best hitters are Bonds, Manny Ramirez, and Miguel Cabrera for me.
Yeah, I think right-handed wise for our generation, it's Manny, it's Miguel, and it's Albert Pujols, right?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about Albert. Yeah. And it's funny, he's got a lifetime 306 average, and I got to tell you guys, it's criminal because it's been the last several years.
Yeah, it just got killed.
It got killed. 250, 256, 254, 257. Throw that out. I mean, this guy, I'm looking at his numbers, 4 out of 5 years batting title.
No, it's insane.
344,
it's
330, 348, 313, 338. These are like Tony Gwynn-like numbers.
Well, and Triple Crown.
Yeah, exactly.
And remember, a good chunk came in two parts where he deserves more credit. One, post testing for steroids versus some of those other guys where they benefited from that, supposedly, or allegedly. And then also, there were a couple periods there during his prime where he put up massive numbers, but the ball was quote-unquote dead for everyone else. But Miggy Cabrera still raked.
Well, one other stat. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Amal.
11 straight 100 RBI seasons. You know, that tells me two things. Incredible production and great health to be able to be that consistent and play in all those games. And during that stretch, the minimum number of games he played in was 148, but on average he played 157 or better.
And not only was he the first to win the Triple Crown since Yaz, remember, he was going to do it the following year if it wasn't for that big donk in Baltimore who had a million bombs.
Is that Chris Davis?
Big contract? Chris Davis. Miggy was going to win the Triple Crown two straight years. Think about what I'm telling you. That's insane. And Davis, who I think he's still getting paid by the Orioles just to go away, somehow jumped in there and hit a billion bombs. Because he was hanging out with Mark Aguirre at GNC.
Chris Davis is getting paid. This is the final year that he's getting paid by Baltimore. Believe he's earning $9 million.
Jesus.
Donk Davis.
His one good year, they signed him for like 7 for $161, I think it was.
He got a lot of money. They went to a couple postseasons.
No, baseball money's dumb,
yes,
but it's not as dumb as the association's money. I recently heard about a kid that just got guaranteed something like $80 million. Hand to God, been doing this my whole entire life. I had never heard of the basketball player.
Oh, the Spurs kid.
Yeah.
Devin Vassell or Vassell?
Devin Vassell. He played at Florida State.
He got like 30 a year guaranteed, and I'm like, who that is?
He played at Florida State. Now, give him credit. He averaged 18 points a game last year. He's improved his scoring.
It might have been him. I can't remember.
He just signed a contract. But I will say this in Patrick's defense. When he got that deal, I was like, what? I was like.
NBA money is stupidity. So dumb.
Think about these guys, though, right? Like, we're sitting there talking about Dame and some of these guys. De'Aaron Fox right now is probably on pace. This is going to sound absurd. If he stays healthy with that speed, to potentially make $700 million by the time he's done playing.
It's not bad. It's good. It's good work if you can get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, I will say this because now I'm starting to feel bad. We got plenty of time to come back here if you're Tampa. Man, that would be a whimper going out. Great season for the Rays. They're down 5-0 right now.
But
bottom five.
I would say it makes a little bit of sense. It feels like they got off to the hot start, and it was a historic start. But you got to remember what's gone on with this team. One, losing McClanahan during the year. He's the bona fide ace. He's the guy they rally around. He kills any chance they have of losing, you know, two or three in a row. And then the Wander Franco situation hanging over this team and what went on with him and him being away from the club. Like, they got off to that great start, and credit to them, they kept winning despite all those two distractions. But you have to admit, like, this is not the Rays team you expected to get in the playoffs when you saw them performing the way they did out of the gates.
Fair enough. I'm going to double down on the Sonny Gray play.
I don't understand the movement. Other than people thinking the desperation we're seeing, like we'll see from the other side tonight in Toronto, dude, Jose Berríos is not a big game pitcher. What? And now he's kind of my Kirk Ferentz in baseball. I'm always on the wrong side of him. Whenever I think Berríos stinks, he throws a gem. Whenever I think he's going to be good, he gets hammered. So I will admit I'm sometimes on the wrong side of him. But he's not a big game guy that's like going to go out there and save your season.
I agree with you guys in reference to playing Sonny Gray here. First of all, I don't get the affinity for Berríos. He has struggled since he's been in Toronto. He hasn't been great. I know his ERA might...
He had a good year this year, but not great.
Well, he struggled initially, got things back on track, but I'm not a believer in him in this particular spot. Twinkies at home. And not just that, we just talked about it. Patrick referenced it earlier, how well Sonny Gray's pitched in his last 7 starts. That took about his last 13 starts, 10 of them giving up 2 runs or less. I mean, you're going to get 5 to 6 out of Gray. That's what you want in this particular situation. One other thing I want to add in, I tell you what, I think Kevin Cash has mismanaged the starting pitcher in both games of this postseason so far. Kept Eflin in too long. Your season is on the line. You just can't keep guys in. You've got to make moves.
And that's not what you do. Like, you're the Rays. Your whole thing is that you play the mismatches with the quote-unquote analytics. How do you do that and leave a guy out there to get slammed?
Okay. Pause. You said Berríos. We all have a name. Kyle Freeland. I tail, he kills me. I fade that freaking lefty. He kills me. Every single time. We all have a name. You can go back and go. I can go by decade and give you names of pitchers. Every time I tail them, they kill me. Every time I fade them, they kill me. For you, it's Berríos. For me, it's Kyle Freeland. That's it.
I got two teams. I don't have pitchers. Kansas State and college football.
Always on the wrong side.
And the Dallas Stars. Doesn't matter. They could have a 5-goal lead. If I have the Stars, they're going to lose. If the Stars are down 1-0, there's 19 minutes left in the first period. We got no shot of winning that game.
Were they playing that Jersey trap the past couple of years? Every time I turn the Stars on, it's a boring-ass team to watch. Am I wrong about them?
No, you're not wrong about that. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't the old Jersey trap.
It's not that bad.
Come on. And I'll outlaw that.
Oh, my gosh. That trap was just repulsive, watching hockey in the mid-90s, early 2000s with Jersey.
Come on. The Devils and those Wings teams were unbelievable. Martin Brodeur basically would be out to the blue line because he was the best goalie to ever handle the puck.
Marty Brodeur would get arrested for walking on a crosswalk in Michigan if you were there. Right? Like, they hate him. They can't. Claude Lemieux, are you kidding?
Oh, he's
the
still
turtle.
Claude Lemieux took out Chris Draper. He's still enemy number one in Michigan.
The freaking turtle. When we come back, Amal's got to take on Bama and Miami college football.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, basketball season is ready to tip off, and the VSIN experts have been working very hard tracking the latest player moves to help you become a smarter better. When it comes to the association, become a VSIN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NBA betting guide featuring up-to-date previews for all 30 teams, futures, and year-long player props, best bets on player awards like Rookie of the Year, live betting strategies, plus strategy and advice on building your own NBA betting model. JVT is going to be all over that. Of course, Jonathan Von Tobel and the crew working their butts off for this NBA betting guide. I'm told it's the best. Make sure you check it out. It drops tomorrow. VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm going to get my hand on a copy. I see Dame Time and the Bucks jersey on the cover. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. Do a great job. I give props to everybody. Bill and, of course, the crew behind the scenes with Adam Burke, managing editor, JVT working his butt off. We do a great job with our previews. The previews, to me, are just a necessity. It's necessary to have them throughout a long season because it just cuts down on so much of the workload for you. You know, a lot of that extra work that you have to put in for each team is already done for you. So you're betting a team, like we mentioned, the Stars, our NHL betting guide. All you do is flip it open to the team page, and you've got everything you need to know. You don't have to do that extra legwork. So we've got you covered. Even if you just want kind of the attritional work done for you, make sure you check out the guides. And it's as low as $19 to sign up. Dustin Sweetelson doing some research behind the, what is it, the big bar, the D bar? What's the bar behind you again?
It is Bar Canada.
Bar Canada, second story there at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Great shot, Liz. It was, you can see it if you're watching on YouTube TV and across the platforms. A beautiful shot. There's the big guy to the left, Amal Shaw to the right. I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. We're going to do a little college football. We do have a clip coming up. I know it's a guy that you guys are probably so annoyed with me at this point, but I keep jocking Sam Howell. I don't know why. I think Sam Howell's going to be very good. We've got a clip. Who's talking about Howell coming up in the next segment?
We've got Howell talking about the Bears defense, and then Eddie Jackson from the Bears defense talking about Howell. And it's an interesting clip for a guy 24 hours out from a game against him to say the things he's saying publicly.
Yep, and week 5 kicks off tomorrow with the Commanders. What is it, 5.5, 6 there, Amal, right now?
Yeah. It's an interesting matchup when you look at these two teams. I mean, this is one. Now, it's gone up to 6 here. But, Patrick, I think this is – I got to be honest with you. I know the Bears have been bad, but, boy, I'm not laying a touchdown with the Washington Commanders unless they're playing the Maryland Terrapins.
I'm going to tell you something right now, my friend. Coventry scoring against Blackburn in the championship has got your boy flying on a freaking Wednesday. Let's go,
I love that you follow a championship. I love it.
Championship's the best.
It's the best.
Sunderland
really
beating
is.
Watford. Sunderland beating Watford? Yes, please, big guy. Let's go. Some college football, Amal Shaw's favorite sport. And you've got a few things that we're going to touch on here. And this is for not necessarily just new bettors, but novice bettors and experienced bettors alike. A couple angles to jump into before the weekend gets underway. And one is right now to go bet Alabama, pardon me, in the futures market.
Yeah, absolutely, to win the SEC. Right now, Georgia's the favorite, and rightfully so. But when you look at Alabama, Patrick, everybody forgot about them when they lost that game to Texas in week 2. Well, you know what's happened? Alabama's defense has gotten better. They have a top 25 total defense. They're top 20 in scoring defense. They're slowly coming back to where we expect them to be. But because it's Alabama, the bar has been set. It's undefeated season, national championship, or it's a failure. But we are not talking about this team that could still get into the college football playoff. Look, they're plus about 230 to 275, depending on where you get the number to win the SEC. And it may not seem like the greatest number, but Patrick, you got to go back a long, long time to bet Alabama to win the SEC without being at almost a minus 110, plus 120 type of situation.
Yep.
This is the best value you're getting on this Crimson Tide team. Jalen Milroe's getting comfortable. He's much more effective than where he's been in the past. But, Patrick, one other thing to take a look at is the schedule. They've got a marquee game this weekend against A&M. And I know A&M's got a top five defense. However, if the Crimson Tide can get past this game, they knocked off Ole Miss, they get LSU at home, and they're at Kentucky. Those are the games they got to navigate, but they're going to have margin for error with the way the rest of that division is, still to be able to get to the SEC title game. And then you would have an opportunity, if you don't like Bama against Georgia or whomever else they play, you can hedge out. Let's say it's Kentucky and they knock off Georgia this weekend. You're going to get Bama as a favorite against Kentucky probably.
No, that's a great point. Plus 260 right now, as Amal said, get it before this Saturday. Plus 260 SEC for Bama. The big guy hopes you're right because he's got Bama to win a natty at 40-1. Amal, let me ask you a follow-up on that. Who's the biggest challenge right now to Alabama winning that SEC West?
Patrick, this might surprise you a little bit. I'm going Texas A&M. LSU didn't get boat raced, but their defense did down in Oxford. Alabama's already beaten Ole Miss. So now for Ole Miss to be able to get there, the Crimson Tide would have to have 2 losses in conference play. A&M has their best opportunity. The non-conference loss against Miami, no shame in that when you dig into Miami's numbers. But more importantly, this is going to be the game that's crucial to which team that's probably going to represent the SEC West. I don't think this game's getting enough hype on Saturday. When you look at A&M right now, Max Johnson is the guy. Connor Wegman out with the injury for the rest of the season. That's a big blow for this A&M team. The running game, and by the way, how can the A&M running game not suffer when Devin Achane's been probably the second best running back in football behind Christian McCaffrey so far this year? So this A&M team's going to have to be effective through the air against the Crimson Tide. If they can do that, they've got an opportunity to be able to win what should be a marquee game in front of a great crowd at Kyle Field on Saturday. But Patrick, in my opinion, whoever wins this football game is going to probably be your representative in Atlanta come that first Saturday in December.
Love it. Let's do the same thing with the ACC because you've been a big supporter of Florida State. And Florida State right now, $1.65 favorite in the ACC. But you also have an approach if you want to tackle Miami. Miami right now, 6.5-1.
Yeah, I can't take full credit for it. I got to give credit to our producer, unfortunately, on this one. Dustin Sweetelson was the one who initially kind of turned me on to the Hurricanes, because we were talking about it after the A&M game. He goes, "What'd you think?" I said, "Miami looks good." I said, "The Hurricanes look good." And then I watched them against Temple. I know Temple's not obviously the caliber of these types of opponents we're talking about, but they have put it together. Patrick, real quick, I want to throw a couple of stats out there for you. There are two teams in college football right now with a top 12 scoring offense and a top 12 scoring defense, Penn State and the Miami Hurricanes. I don't think people are aware how well this team is playing offensively and then what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball. This team just continues to flourish on both sides of the football. Van Dyke is playing very, very well. This team is really putting it together. They're doing it running back by committee. The passing offense is in the top 21 in college football. The rush defense, if you had five downs, you're not getting a first down against the Canes. They're giving up 1.92 yards per carry. Okay, you're not even getting it in five downs. That's how well they're playing right now. When you look at this Miami team, I think people are forgetting about them. And to your original question, why they're a good bet right now, because they're about plus anywhere between $4 to $5 to win the ACC. And you're going to have some hedging opportunities and some opportunities to make some moves within that conference where you can make a bet. They could still lose the ACC title game and you could still make a profit.
And almost up to 650, Amal, so even a juicier number. I love that angle from you right there. And, of course, we're going to see these two face off, right? You've got Florida State, Miami coming up, what, November 11th? That is in Tallahassee.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, it's going to be a great game rivalry game. But if Miami loses that game, they're okay as long as they're able to win the rest of their games. Then the biggest challenger right now is going to be Duke and Louisville. Clemson's got two losses, so they're virtually eliminated. And if you're the Miami Hurricanes, you look at your schedule and you sit there and go, okay, we're sitting at 4-0. We're in a great position. Coming off of a bye week, you got Georgia Tech. You're at North Carolina. You have Clemson at home. And then Virginia to close out the month. These are all winnable games. Where the rubber's going to meet the road is in the final 2 weeks. And this is why I think this is such a good bet, Patrick. You're at Florida State November 11th. Let's assume they have the loss. Now you play Louisville. You're probably going to be a pick 'em in that game. If you don't like Miami's chances at that point in time, maybe injuries or Louisville's playing particularly well, you can bet Louisville to win that game straight up. Take away your risk that you have on the ACC championship game with Miami. But at 6.5 to 1, let's say you bet $100. You get $650 back if they win the conference. Total take back is $750. You let the Florida State game go. You're not worried about it. The Louisville game comes up. It's a near pick 'em. Take the Cardinals on the money line. You bet $110 there. Fine. And then you go to the ACC championship game. If Miami doesn't beat Florida State, you have another opportunity to take the Noles, or you can let it ride. You have a great opportunity to make a profit regardless of Miami winning the ACC or not in Charlotte on that first Saturday in December.
Brilliant. Succinctly put. I love the way you're approaching the SEC conference-wise and also the ACC. What stood out to me when you're talking about the ACC, you brought up Louisville, you brought up Florida State, you brought up Miami, you left out Dabo and the boys at Clemson, which I like as a South Carolina alum. I like it. Is wild. It's actually, it's quite competitive. Miami's legit.
They are legit. I don't think people realize when you look at this team that they've got some playmakers on this team. The secondary is very, very good. But more importantly to me, it's the quarterback play. They've got experience, and they've got a good backfield there for the Hurricanes. This team is dangerous. Restipro has been outstanding at the receiver position. They've got some playmakers on this team. They're a much more dangerous team. They're completely flying under the radar. And quick point on Clemson. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. When Brent Venables landed in Norman, it was over for Dabo Swinney. I thought it was going to take 2 years for the demise to start, and it is year two, and the plane is descending.
Nice. Love it. Great breakdown. ACC and SEC ahead of this weekend's matchups. And as a Miami alum, Mr. Sweetelson's got to be in a good mood. No, big guy?
He's a fan of what's happening.
Are the Broncos tanking? That's next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonuses instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day over at DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app and use the promo code SHARP when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Just a quick note as far as perspective and life. Sad story. LSU safety Greg Brooks Jr., who last month underwent surgery to remove a tumor from his brain, has been diagnosed with a rare form of brain cancer. He's got an uphill battle in front of him. I just bring it up because we're constantly talking about value, not just on Sharp Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, but just across the space in general. We're constantly talking about getting value. You know, one thing that you can't put value on, you can't measure it, it's invaluable, that's health. And also you want to throw time in as well. So I know, you know, kind of going through some stuff, you always think about, we take our health for granted when nothing's wrong. And then when you see people going through it, just recognize you never know what somebody else is going through. Even when you're on social media, everybody's got their own story. Everybody's dealing with their own stuff. And when you see a story like this, a 22-year-old young man like Greg Brooks Jr., who's been diagnosed with a rare form of brain cancer, you just think, how lucky. If you're doing this and you're arguing over sports betting, how lucky we have it right now. So just wanted to pass that along and maybe some positive thoughts to Greg Brooks Jr., LSU safety. Okay, we're back. Sharp Money. I'm Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. A little NFL news as we get it going here. I'm teased on the way out, boys. Are the Broncos tanking? They've released a player of note, which we'll get to in just a little bit, but we'll open it up. We teased Sam Howell. We have week 5 kicking off in Washington tomorrow night. I'm seeing mostly sixes, boys. I know that's going to be used as far as first leg of a two-team teaser. Obviously, a lot are going to bring that Washington team down. Amal, you and I mentioned, and we should reiterate, you know, most pros are going to go up with the number.
Yeah.
Most pros are going to tease up. You're looking to tease through key numbers, but the number is 6. Let's go ahead and hear about the second-year play caller and Sam Howell, big guy. What do you got?
So Sam Howell met with the media yesterday, and he was asked about facing this Chicago defense.
It's definitely not a team you can take lightly. There's no easy games in the NFL, and they have a lot of really good players on their defense, and they fly around. They play hard, and you can tell they want to win, and it's definitely a challenge for us, and we definitely have our hands full. They do a lot of good stuff schematically on defense as well, so it's definitely a tough defense. Every defense in the NFL is tough to play against, so you definitely got to be ready to go, and you got to prepare. We're excited for the challenge.
You know what I loved about that clip? That clip was super boring. That kid is tough and boring. Apparently has no personality. Exactly how I want my quarterback. Just go home, eat your chicken, come back, get knocked down, get back up, and keep throwing dimes to McLaurin. That's Sam Howell, boys.
I thought he was reading off a teleprompter on what to say as coach speak for an opponent. Oh, my God. I mean,
you know,
Robert Sala was going to lose
in front of the other, and
yeah, exactly.
God willing.
Wait, if in his second year, if he came out, he's like, I got to be honest, this Chicago defense stinks. Did you see what happened to the coordinator? FBI? What else is going on, boys?
Well, it's interesting you say that because Eddie Jackson was on, I believe it was ESPN 1000 earlier today. I'll get the exact attribution while we listen to it, and he was asked about facing Sam Howell and what he sees so far.
I feel like he's pretty good. He's done, like you said, a few good things. But I feel like he's still young. He struggles with reading defensive coverages. So that's something that we're going to try to get him mixed up on. But, you know, they have a good receiving core. Those guys can stretch the field vertically, like to get a few of those guys in space, and they can make you miss. So, like, we just been out on our approach, you know, I mean, obviously the day after a game, but today we just went in there and just like, look, we know what they're going to do, what they're going to try to hit us at. We just got to be ready to tackle, stay over top, and give him different looks and try to make him beat us with his arm.
All right, so he's forthright, saying the kid, he struggles with reads a little bit, talking about the Sam Howell. Who was that?
That was Eddie Jackson, who, by the way, is not very good anymore at defensive back. Like, he's a liability out there at this point.
I tell you what.
Hey, he just said something. He said something to Maul. Let me ask you a question. So he said pretty good receivers. I'd say more than pretty good. McLaurin, Dotson, and Samuels. Like, again, when Logan Thomas is healthy at tight end, he's very good, but he's just never healthy. But those top two, kind of under the radar a little bit with McLaurin and Dotson.
I think the problem is they haven't had quarterback play. McLaurin, what was
there.
He, a third-round pick? Dotson, a first-round pick? I mean, you go to Dotson, makes a great catch at the end of the game against Philadelphia. He's been consistent. You know, Jahan Dotson, this poor guy, has not had quarterback play in state college. He's not had quarterback play in Landover, Maryland. And can somebody play quarterback and help this guy out?
Clifford, the big red dog, just chucking the ball down the field. Dotson's like, you kidding me? Yeah, I mean, I guess he was being honest. Chicago right now is so upside down. It's a team that you can't back. Now, again, they came out of nowhere and Fields played about as well as he possibly could last week. What's the team total? You guys want to take a stab at it? What's the team total
probably
right now?
Probably 19 in this one.
Because here's the thing. Del Rio down in D.C., they're asking for Del Rio to get fired. Now, Del Rio's defense is kind of like Spagnuolo with Kansas City, generally start pretty slowly. But if you look into the Commanders' defensive numbers, not great. And Forbes was the rookie out of Mississippi State, was absolutely abused by A.J. Brown. Go ahead, big guy.
Oh, and Forbes was abused so badly, he deleted his Twitter. So let you know where he's at. He couldn't deal with it. And that, like, look, that's people being weird and annoying. But this Bears defense on the other side, remember, Jordan Love threw all over them in week one. Baker Mayfield threw all over them in week two. Mahomes did so in week three, but he does that to everyone. And then Denver was able to win in week four. However, in week four, Justin Fields put up some of his best stats of the year, throwing for 335 yards. He was asked if he looks back on that last week and is proud of the numbers he was able to accumulate.
I mean, yeah, you do a little bit, but, you know, the main thing is you want to win. To be honest, I'd rather throw for 50 yards, three picks, and we still win the game than, you know, what happened this past Sunday. At this point, winning is just the number one thing on my mind, so I'd rather do that than accomplish any individual goal or individual statistic than that there is. So, you know me, I'm just trying to get a dub. So,
go ahead, Amal.
I mean, look, it's the right thing you want to hear from your quarterback, and he's always been that way in terms of his leadership with the Bears. But I have to tell you guys, when you look at a 28-7 lead in the third quarter, and then you lose the football game 31-28. I really don't know how this team responds. Not only do you have a game the following week, but you have it on a short week on a Thursday. This is a tough, tough situation for the Bears. You know, we talked about Notre Dame and that loss to Ohio State. They responded well against Duke. But can the Bears really get up for this thing? It feels like this thing could really be on the downhill slope and gaining speed quickly week by week.
You sleep on their secret weapon, that dynamo named Matt Eberflus. He'll take care of it. Short week. Nobody's going to fire up the squad like Eberflus. I'll say this about Fields. I love that guy. Every time he speaks, I get more confident in him as a human. Like, he's just a different type of thinker. I like every time I hear him speak, I kind of like his vibe.
How about this? Justin Fields, trade him out of Chicago to the Atlanta Falcons and send him home. What would he do in Arthur Smith's offense with someone who understands how to scheme things up with a special player?
Guys, look, I understand if people in Chicago are down on Justin Fields, but he is one of the few guys, to me, that is had bad play, not just because of him, but because the product of what's around him, the other 10 guys.
Get him out of there, though.
Well, look at the couple of throws he had to Komet and more. On that last interception, I think Komet went outside and he was expecting him to go inside, fine. But to Dustin's point, you put him in Atlanta or somewhere else like that, guys, I think it would change the dynamic. I think it would revive his career. I think he'd have an opportunity to be an effective quarterback in this league. He's one of the few guys that I'm not ready to write the script and say, Zach Wilson, I know he had a good game against Kansas City Sunday, but I got to see a lot more consistency. You know, Fields makes plays with his legs. There have been some errant throws. Nobody's ever going to accuse this guy of having the accuracy of Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow. But there's still something there that when you hear this many people say, well, I think it's a situation. With Zach Wilson, I never hear anyone come out and go, yo, it's Robert Saleh. It's the offensive line. It's the Jets.
Yeah, yeah.
No, though, they're like, it's Zach Wilson.
Yeah, totally agree. It's not Fields. There's other things going on there. Fields has a tremendous upside. One of you said 19.5 for the team total, correct? That is, yes, I think, Kamal, you were right.
19.5 yeah.
Tomorrow night, team total for the Bears. Washington's 25.5. I'm not betting Washington over 25.5 team total. Sorry.
Game. It feels even though the Bears' defense stinks, it feels like a first half underplay for me eventually.
Hey, pay off that tease. What happened with the Denver Broncos?
Well, the Denver Broncos decided to release Randy Gregory. He wasn't really playing for them. He signed a 5-year, $70 million deal last year, played in 10 games, recorded 3 sacks, 21 tackles, and Adam Schefter reports that it was because they, quote, want to focus on younger players. Is one of those players Caleb Williams?
That is
Well, at least it's going to be comfortable with Peyton and Wilson. That has an opportunity to go really weird in Denver and get really weird quickly. Not weird. Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper, coming up next.